It wasn't just Andrew Benintendi today. It was JD Martinez, who has gotten hot.
That ball is gone! What a bullet by Devers!
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
Welcome to another edition of the TC and Jerry podcast. As we get closer to baseball, talk that the spring training and the season might get pushed off. I'm Tom Caron. He's Jerry Remy. And Jerry, I thought we were going to spend a lot of time talking about labor negotiations, and I'm so happy we're not. Unfortunately, the reason we're not isn't great news. Dustin Pedroia officially announcing his retirement. You had said last week you thought it would be coming to a conclusion soon. Are you surprised that ultimately he announces his retirement? I mean, now we know he had a partial knee replacement. I guess there's nothing more he could do.
Right. It's something I knew a while ago, and I knew that, you know, obviously he was not going to be playing baseball again. And I think they were looking for the proper and graceful way and send him out on the right note. And allowing him to retire was the big thing, I think, you know, that it was very important to him. Instead of saying, okay, we're releasing you with a year left on your contract, they let him retire. And I think that was big for him. We had the privilege of watching, in my opinion, and I didn't see Bobby Dorr play, and you know, he's in the Hall of Fame, but the greatest second baseman to ever put on a Red Sox uniform, in my opinion. And, you know, as I've talked many, many times, it was a great honor to be able to watch him play his career in a Red Sox uniform. It's the way every baseball player should play the game of baseball. Because when you look back, and when he looks back on his career, he can never say that he had a down day, because he didn't. He put maximum effort into everything he did.
I know you and he built a great relationship over the years in a lot of ways. His approach to the game, I think, was the same as yours.
Yes.
Obviously, he was able to go further. They won championships. You didn't get to experience any of that as a player. But I know watching him in a lot of ways reminded you of what you saw in yourself as a young player, right?
It did, TC. You know, we're both undersized. You know, we both had a chip on our shoulder. We both had to prove to everybody that, you know, we belonged. His talent was much more immense than what my talent was, but our attitude was basically the same every time he took the field. So that's why I always felt like I had something in common with him. Now, the talent level was a complete, you know, mismatch. It was a complete mismatch. But, you know, our attitude was basically the same. And it was a daily out there, daily proving to everybody that you belonged, you know. And, you know, as you'll see as the interview goes on, some questions we talked to him about, you know, that, you know, you kind of get where he was coming from when he was playing, you know. And I think that's a great thing. And it's things that I knew about him. I've got to know him quite well, you know, through in the clubhouse. And he was a character. When he walked in the door, you know, it lit up a little bit. You know, he made it light up. It's just the way he was, but that he could take it on the field with him. So, you know, end of a great career, really a great career, and the debate will go down the road. You know, I personally don't think that he's probably got the type of numbers to get into the World Series the Hall of Fame, because things were caught short, but he certainly played like a Hall of Fame player.
Well, as you said, probably the best second baseman in history, or one of two, along with Bobby Dorr, in the history of the Red Sox. And when you're anything in the history of the Boston Red Sox, that's more than 100 years of baseball. So you've been one of the best to play the game. Here's the conversation. He announced his retirement to the media on Monday and then spent a little time with us. Great conversation with the retiring Dustin Pedroia. Joining us now is the former second baseman of the Boston Red Sox, and it's still tough to say that. I'm sure it's tough to hear that. Dustin Pedroia. Petey, great job with all of it today. How was it? How emotional was it to talk about your career in the past tense for the first time?
It was a little tough. I mean, I get emotional when I talk about, you know, my teammates or my family and, you know, stuff like that. You know, I've never been really one to, you know, I don't know. I'm very confident in one-liners and stuff like that, but I don't really like talking about myself or anything like that. So, you know, it's been tough, but I've been through so much the last couple years that, you know, I've had so much time to think about things and go through things that, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay right now.
You know, and you two, I should just get out of the way. I mean, 20-something knee surgeries between the two of you. Both of you gave everything you could to stay on the field. So, I mean, you guys – I mean, I remember hearing a conversation between you guys once. I don't even know if you guys knew I was there, but you were talking about types of hardwood flooring and what it meant to your knee, like the pain you were feeling walking on it. And, Jerry, you're one of the few people on earth that can have that conversation with Dustin, what you guys have gone through to play Major League Baseball.
Well, I you know, I have a little bit of what Dustin has gone through, not as severe, obviously, But, you know, for me, and I'm curious, Dustin, if you feel the same way, you know, there was this period that you go through where you're just completely off the wall because, you know, you're looking for a way to get back. You're looking for a way to get that another game in, another year in, you know, and it just physically you can feel yourself, it's not going to happen. And for me, it was going to spring training one year, knowing I had no chance to make the team and no chance to play. And it was the worst spring I've ever been to in my whole life. And it was almost, for me, it was a relief when they said, Jerry, take it to the house because you just can't do this anymore. And it was tough. I mean, it's the first time in the big leagues I cried. But the fact is that, you know, it was it gave me a sense of finish, a sense of it was over now. And that helped me a little bit. I was wondering if at any point you've gone through that and you felt the same way.
I think the hard part for me was when I was rehabbing through, you know, each of the surgeries. And, you know, I, like in 19 or 18, you know, I go to extended spring training and you know, with a trainer and a strength coach there. And I'd go take ground balls and, you know, they'd video it. I'd look at the video and, you know, I look normal. And they're all fired up. They're excited. And I'm excited. I'm like, holy cow, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm coming back. And then sure enough, the next day I wake up and my knee looks, if you see it, you'll get sick. And then it goes from getting, you know, practicing baseball stuff to how are we going to get this swelling out of my knee? What are we going to do in rehab? How am I going to feel better? So there were some days where I actually could play. But then the next day I could not function at, I couldn't even walk. Right. So I think that was the part that was so hard because it wasn't like it was hey, it's over. It's, you know, one day I went on my rehab assignment in 19 to Greenville in the opening day we play. And I got four at bats. I hit four line drives. I think I got two or three hits, made a couple diving plays at second base. And they're like, holy cow, you look better than ever. And I'm like, yeah, I feel better than ever. And the next day I could walk. Yeah. So I think that was the part that we all had trouble with is, you know, some days I could be all right. And then eventually, you know, that last January when I had the big setback, when they MRI'd my knee, it looked like an explosion. It was really, really bad. And that's when they said, listen, you need a replacement. It's time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we gave it our best shot.
Yeah. I think you'll appreciate this. With my last game, they sent me down to the minor league complex to play against Harvard University. So I'm trying to figure out all the things I can do here to, you know, to see how my knee feels. So I try a drag bunt and they throw me out at first base by about 15 feet. And this punk out in center field from Harvard is screaming at me. Yeah, we got you. We got you. Now, this is after being in the big leagues 11 years, one all-star team. And I got to listen to this clown screaming at me from Harvard University. So you talk about making you feel bad. And at the end, you know, it was awful.
Oh, that's awesome. At least you can look back now and laugh about it.
I know. I wasn't laughing at the time, though.
No. That's what, you know what? That's what makes baseball special. I mean, I see it now. I'm coaching my eight-year-old's team, and I go out there and throw BP, and one of these kids hit a rocket right back out. I'm throwing BP, and I, you know, it's my landing leg. I barely even move. And I couldn't bend over to get out of the way. And this thing hits me right in the shin, and the kid looks at me, and he's like, you were a good major league player.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me tell you something, you little, you know what I mean? I'm like, holy cow. So then I just threw a little two seam in on his hands and jammed him a little bit. I'm like, yeah, how do you like that?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. That's a heads up to all you fantasy leaguers who are going to try to go there someday. If Dustin's on the mound, be careful.
Yeah.
You go back to the beginning of the career. And I don't want to go year by year or anything, but you know, everyone's asking you about you and when you came up, and you love to talk team. And I always think back, you know, 04 was generational, right? Church bells ring and life changes and all of that. It was never a bad day in New England again. You come up in 06, and they don't make the playoffs that year. And it's kind of a transitional group. You know what I mean? Was that lightning in a bottle, or are we going to see more of this? And I think 07 gets overlooked of all the championship games. And in a lot of ways, you guys were so good. You were drama-free. You're just the best team in baseball that year. But it was a really important year, I think, in the evolution of the franchise. You know, that it wasn't just one. Theo Epstein said that anybody can win one. You know, kind of joking, because we knew for 86 years, not everybody could win just one. But how important was that? How proud of that 07 team are you when you look back? Because it kind of created the what was now a sustainable run, right? The young guys who developed in the organization were now a big part of it. How overlooked is that when we talk about the history of the Red Sox?
I think, in my opinion, I think 2007 was created the foundation for a lot of years. You know, in 2004, when they won, you know, they hadn't done it before. And in 2007, a lot of those guys were still there. But you added new pieces here and there. And I think they added the right pieces to where, you know, their personality and toughness and you know, their age. A lot of us were younger. And the way Tech led, the way David led, you know, Shill was still there. There was different pieces that can definitely impact a younger player like me. And then you bring Jacoby up. Uke is there. So it started to tie into where you were building something, you know, that's going to be sustainable for a long period of time. And it's how you play the game and how you approach the game. So I think 2007 was the year that carried over the Red Sox organization and the success that we've had long-term. You know, just the way if you sign with the Red Sox, you know, you're coming into an environment that you see not just one or two people act a certain way. You see 17, 18. So you fall in line. And I think that year was extremely important and it led to the next year. I mean, we were an injured oblique away from, you know, doing it again. And it just built, you know, to where in 13, you know, there was only a few of us left from that 2007 team. But it was the right mixture, and we signed the right guy. Ben did an unbelievable job of signing the right guys that fit a certain personality, and we meshed from day one. So we built a culture that has lasted, and it's going to continue to last. It's been passed down to guys that do it the right way, in Bogey, in Vasquez. I know Jackie's a free agent, but there's guys there that we're going to be okay. And I think 2007 was a huge part of that.
Peter, you said something in your press conference today with the media, and it really caught my attention because I always say the same thing. And people look at me like I'm crazy, you know, when I say it, but I always wish that I could have enjoyed the game more. I feel the exact same way that you do, because you put so much into it daily, and it's a grind for 162 games every single day. And you get that one day off and you feel like it's a month because, you know, you can unwind for a day. But when I look back at my career, I always wish that, you know, I could have enjoyed the moment more. And it just wasn't in me to be able to do that. And you said the exact same thing today. I was glad to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, there was times, I remember there was times where on my drive home from a game, you know, I think in my career, the things that bothered me the most weren't me. They were my teammates. They were, you know, and I remember in 2009, David was having a tough time. I mean, he had, you know, injured his wrist the year before. It was trying to heal. Like, I knew that, and everyone knew that, but in the clubhouse. But the media didn't know that. David's hitting 150, you know, and I'm more worried about, hey, where's he at mentally? And trying to get to David to say, listen, man, you're hurt. You know, it's going to take time for you to get your swing back. Like, but we need you on the field. Like, it is what it is. When you're in the lineup, we're better. Or if Bogey's struggling, or if Mookie was having a hard time, like I always thought, you know, even if I was doing great and we were winning, you always look at the guy next to you and see how he's doing, because the game is mentally draining, you know?
Right.
And I felt it was my job to pick him up, you know, and lift him up, because when everyone's clicking together, that's how you win a World Series. And if one guy's not clicking and he's down, you're not going to win the World Series. It takes literally every single player. And I knew that. So that's why my mind would never stop. I'd lay in bed and Kelly would, she would be like, what are you talking about? I'd sit there and be like, I got to get there early and watch film for Bogey. He's doing something, And she's like, you have issues, you know, and yeah. that my mind never stopped. But it was always in the right area of trying to win. But I never sat back and looked and thought, man, this is awesome, and enjoyed it, because right. there was always something else to try to get better at, or someone to help, or we got to do this differently to get better. I guess if you're going to be successful and be a winning organization, that's how you have to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
That 09 with Ortiz, people think, remember the laser show, right? It's, oh, that's Pedroia being brash, talking about himself. And, you know, I remember we were at the postgame show, and Nesson was sort of partly responsible for that. Although we had a poll that we ran that day, and it was like, what did they do with Ortiz? And it was like, put him on the bench. And, you know, he had grounded out in the ninth inning before you guys came back, and we showed the ground out. You guys come in the clubhouse. You kind of call the reporters over and you go off. And it was all in defense of Ortiz. And I've always told that story because, you know, from somebody to the outside saying, now there's Pedroia talking about himself as the laser show. He's so bright. And it was totally about standing up for your teammate, because that's who you were.
Yeah, that was my job. I mean, that, and I saw Tech do that a lot. And I mean, I think it was, I was almost 4 years in, and I had to start taking responsibility. I mean, Tech can't do everything. You know what I mean? And to see David, you know, to see his, you know, if he's not smiling, something's wrong. And to see him that down, it's my responsibility to stick up for him. I mean, he would do the same for me. So I just told him, I mean, it is what it is. Like, he's going to come back. You know, I just had a different way of saying it. That's a part of it. That's why Boston's so special, man. You're dealt with so much stuff. You know, every game is game seven of the World Series. And, you know, that's the best for a player. I mean, there's nothing like it. And it brings out the best in you. And it definitely builds relationships with your teammates and more special.
Would I be right in saying that every day that you took the field, you didn't want to be the best second baseman on the field. You wanted to be the best player on the field for that particular game. Would that be fair?
Yeah. I mean, I showed up. I wanted – if you were a first time coming to the game, watching it, I wanted you to leave the game saying number 15 is best player on the field.
Right.
And he's there to literally try to kick your ass all day long. And if he doesn't, we're going to fight. You know what I mean? It's just, I took everything personal when I played. And that's what I love about sports is, you know, there's going to be good times. There's going to be bad times, you know, but when you're thrown in the middle of it, someone's going to come out on top, and I want to be the guy.
When you got emotional talking about your kids today and sort of the next phase of your life, obviously. I remember Cal Ripken's last year, I did an interview with him, and you know, somebody said, you know, he's building all those youth ballparks, yeah. Right? The Cal Ripken experience. And somebody said, man, you want your kids to be great at baseball. He's like, nah, I just want my kids to love baseball as much as I love baseball. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're looking at as the next phase here? It's not about coaching your kids to be great. It's about trying to get them to love the game the way you did.
Oh, I just, whatever they choose to do, I just want to be there for them and support it. You know, and that's it. And teach them life lessons. Listen, like that's the most thing I got out of baseball. It taught me life. You know, you're going to fail, you know, you fail 7 out of 10 times, you know, you're really good. So just to teach them how to deal with failure, deal with adversity, you know, be respectful, be kind. You know, just all those things. I mean, they all play every sport, and I'm the first one there, and I have their clothes set out before they're even home from school. You know, I love doing all that, but you know, I'm there for them in any way. You know, that's all I want. I don't care if my son, I don't care what job he chooses to do. I don't care if he's in sports. I don't care. I just care that he's a great person, and that's it.
What down the line do you think might interest you? I know it's a long way down the line. You mentioned that today. You want to take care of your family, which is certainly understandable. Yeah. I know the type of guy that you are. But in baseball, you know, you talk about managing and coaching, and that's going in full time. And that's full time stuff all over again. And that's tough to do. That's especially after you've been away from the game for a while. But there are many, many jobs in an organization where you could be helpful to, you know, the organization. And you would obviously play a big part in that. So, you know, I'm sure they've left the door wide open for you to pick and choose what you may want to do in time. And those could change as time goes on. You could feel differently 5 years from now than what you do right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always going to be involved in the game. you know, I think just right now it's going to be at a lighter part, you know, but, you know, like I already told him, like, listen, if you guys want me to go see a kid for the draft, or, you know, if somebody in the minor leagues is having a tough time, you know, you want me to go see him? Yeah, of course. I'll be the first one there. Or if you need me to talk to, you know, one of the young guys at the big leagues and fly out, I'm there. You know, that obviously that'll never change with me, with the organization. But to get into the, you know, a bigger role, you know, I want to be 100% convicted on that before I do it. You know, I don't go into anything in my life half, you know, 50%. So, you know, there will be a time where that happens, where I dive in there and it's, you know, it's full go. But right now it's not, I'm not there yet. You know, I want my, to be a normal civilian for a while. Yeah. You know, I haven't had a chance to do that. I finally got my new knee, so I'm able to walk and I'm chipping and putting right now. I can't take full swings. But you know, they say soon, not like I'll be cleared to do everything except go on a run, which, you know, I'm not a big runner anyway.
Who cares?
Yeah. with that running form, like, yeah, you know, elbowing everybody. Yeah. No one wants to see that anymore anyway.
The marathon can wait. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
two last things I want to ask you, Dustin, we'll let go. One being, you know, your experience in 18, and I've talked to so many young guys who said, you know, your voice was really valuable going through that postseason run, and you're able to share that experience. From your perspective, did that sort of open your eyes to what a role in baseball might be like after your playing days?
I don't know. I mean, I knew I couldn't help on the field, you know, because of my knee. So I had to find ways to help us other ways. And I feel like I'm really good at sensing the mood of certain guys. You know, if a guy's down, because I've been there, you know, I started out hitting 150. I've been the highest of highs and the lowest of lows as a player. So I know, you know, I understand, you know, when a guy needs a breather, when the game's speeding up on him. So it's at that time, it's my job to help, you know, and say a thing here and there to get him back on track. You know, it's not easy. You know, nothing's easy in baseball. You play at the highest level and there's going to be times where they're better than you. But that doesn't mean it's over. You know, you got to compete. You got to rely on your teammates, rely on your coaches. You know, it's, you know, the more information that you have and that people have been through it, it can only help you. So I'm pretty proud of my role that year. I mean, I look at my career as I won as a rookie in 2007 as a leadoff hitter. And in 2013, I hit third and that team was built around my personality. And then I look at 2018 where I was a leader of that team. And so I look back on my career and I'm proud of that, all of it, you know, and you know, it's over, but it was fun.
Jerry, you'll get the last word, but I want to ask, I mean, David Ortiz got a bridge named after him, a gate at Logan named after him. I mean, half the city got named after Big Poppy when he retired. Okay. If you get to pick one thing in Boston, we're going to name one thing after you, Dustin. What do you want?
Oh, I don't need nothing named after me. Honestly, I'm just so lucky to be able to play there, man. You know, I got drafted from California, or, you know, grew up in California and get drafted by the Reds. I knew nothing about the Red Sox, nothing. And I was the lucky I can't even explain how lucky I was to be drafted by that team. You know, the fans, the city, the way they embraced me. You know, and looking back on my career, I never got booed one time. You know, I got that's got to be some kind of record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I played every single game as hard as I can. And I went through ups and downs. They didn't boo me one time that first month. They didn't. And you know, I owe everything to that city, the fans, the team. You know, a special time. And you know, I don't want anything named after me. I'm just fortunate enough to be able to land there and play every single game with that uniform on.
Dustin, I just want to wrap it up by saying, you know, it's been an absolute pleasure for me because I had the opportunity to watch your whole career from up above. And I can honestly tell you that, you know, when you think about baseball, you think about people like you, because, you know, it's you played the game the way it's supposed to be played, every single pitch of every single game. And if people don't appreciate that, then they don't understand anything about baseball or actually being a human being. And I've got to say, it was a total honor for me to be able to watch you throughout your whole career from my perch up above, and wishing at times that I was a teammate of yours, because I know fiery, I think we both were a little bit, and I think that would have brought a little more out of me being on the side of you. But I can honestly say that I've covered a lot of guys, and I've never quite covered anybody like you. And that's from the clubhouse to the field. And I want to thank you very much for your contributions.
Thanks, Rem. It means, you know how I feel about you and TC too. I mean, that's, you guys are family. Everybody there is family. And man, it was fun having those conversations in the clubhouse before the game, man.
Oh yeah.
And, that's the stuff that I'm going to miss, you know, it's walking in there. And when you get in there and we talk and I go on my rants about something stupid. So, you know, that's the best, man. And that's what it's about. You know, that's what baseball is about, is building a bond with people that, you know, you never thought you'd meet in your life, and you see them and it's pretty special. So I appreciate everything you guys have done for me.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. I've told young players, I said, you know, look at that guy. Okay. Great win, bad loss. He's over there talking to the reporters, and I guarantee it's the last thing he wants to do after a tough loss. But he knows that's part of it, right? That's part of the leadership, and you always show that. And I think if we're going to name anything after you, I think it should be the Dustin Pedroia Hour from 2 to 3, because I've never been at the ballpark that you weren't already out from 2 to 3 getting some work done. So that would be a fitting tribute. So there you go. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On a terrific career. It's been an honor to watch you play along the way, and I can't wait to see what's next, Dustin. Thanks
right
for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, B.
I appreciate it.
So, Jerry, there you go. He kept his emotion in check a couple of times talking to the media. He got a little emotional a couple of times there with us talking about it. But, you know, I think at the end of his career, this isn't David Ortiz, you know, who had one of his best seasons at the end, right? He did everything he could. I mean, 9 games over the last 3 years, and he probably worked harder to get those 9 games in than he did the first 10 years of his career. So I don't think this is any kind of surprise to Dustin.
No, it's not a surprise. I'm just glad for him that he's over the frustration of it all. You know, he's able to live a semi-normal life right now, which he was not able to do for a number of years. And those are the things you start thinking about as you get older a little bit. You know, you start forgetting a little bit about baseball and thinking about, look, I got a long life ahead of me. I got things I want to do. I want to be with the family. I want to be with the kids. And I want to be able to be able to walk around and do stuff, you know. And I think he's reached that point. I think, you know, as he said many, many times, he's at peace with himself, the decision that he's had to make and what he's had to go through to get to this decision.
Well, Jerry, we appreciate it. Thank you for another great episode. Great to have you and Dustin with us talking about that. Next week, we'll get around to labor negotiations.
What's new? Yeah.
It'll be good stuff. All right, that's another edition of the TC and Jerry podcast. For Jerry Remy, I'm Tom Caron. We'll see you again next week.